going to try and teach you a few things that are important for the child of God to know and understand. If you're here and you're not saved, there's definitely some things you need to be aware of here in this passage of Scripture. Here in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, and we'll also be looking in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. And as the people were in expectation, oh, I'm sorry, I already read that verse. Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Look in verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And here John is baptizing in Jordan, and you understand what's going on there. For those of you who aren't aware of the idea, the significance there of Jordan, okay, when Israel came out of Egypt, Moses brought them through the Red Sea. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that was Israel being baptized through the Red Sea. Okay, but what happens later on now is a whole nother generation goes into the promised land. That first generation couldn't get in. See, they saw the giants in the land, and they got distressed, and they got worried, and they said, no, we can't go. And they got fearful, and God just said, you're not going in. It'll be a whole nother generation. And 40 years later, this next generation is going in. They're not going in with Moses, because he was one, along with the rest of them, that fell in the wilderness. Joshua, Moses' minister, is now bringing those people in. And God says, I'm going to show this new generation that just as I was with Moses, I'm with Joshua. And you know what they do? They go through the Jordan River. And just as that Red Sea is a picture of baptism, that Jordan River is a picture of that baptism. So guess where John's baptizing? When he's baptizing them right there. That's the people being prepared to enter God's promised land. They're expecting the Christ, these Jews. And so God is preparing them for that opportunity and for that time when this new promise of the Christ will come, the Messiah. And so John is baptizing the nation of Israel and preparing them to receive their Messiah. Now look with me in Luke chapter 12, holding your place here in Luke 3, please, throughout the message. But look with me in Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. Notice something here. We just saw Jesus being baptized there in verse 21 and 22. But notice in Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, Jesus says these words, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Jesus is talking about a baptism that he's going to be baptized with. Right? But we read in chapter 3 he was already baptized. Now the title of my message this morning is The Baptisms of Jesus. The Baptisms. Brother Ray, you see baptisms like there's more than one. Yes, there's more than one. There's more than one. Plural. The baptisms of Jesus Christ. He was baptized in water. Way back there in chapter 3. But now, he's talking about another baptism that he will partake of. A future event. Shall. See? Shall. A future event of his baptism. And what you find out, brethren, when you study the Word of God, you realize that there is not only one or two, there are seven different baptisms in the Bible. How many of you knew that? There are seven different baptisms in the Bible. You know what happens to a lot of people? They see the word baptized and one certain thing comes to their mind. And what you have to realize is there's seven different baptisms in that book. And so if you're not going to get messed up, and many do, when it comes to this idea of baptism. You know why we're called Baptists? You know where we get that name from? We were originally called Anabaptists, and then they just dropped the Anna off. See? And Anabaptists, what we were, is we were against the baptism of children for baptismal regeneration. In other words, we didn't believe that a baby needed to be baptized, sprinkled, to go to heaven. We believe that God is a merciful God and that child has never sinned and they go to heaven automatically. See? We believe that you get baptized in water after you're saved. That's what the Anabaptists, that's what Baptists, that's what Bible-believing Christians down through the centuries have believed, because they believe the Bible. Their Bible's their final authority. But see, today many Christians are very confused. They don't understand about this doctrine of baptisms, and it's an important doctrine for the church to understand and get a hold of. And so we see in the Bible there are seven different baptisms. You don't have to look there, but over in 1 Peter chapter 3, you're welcome to look there if you want now or some other time. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible talks about Noah in that flood, and it has a picture of baptism, and it says in reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, why is that? Because Noah and his family got in that ark. And people, when you talk about the ark, they think about this big boat. You know, they saw the pictures, they saw the... you know, the Sunday school pictures or whatever of a big boat with animals sticking out the sides of it and all that. That wasn't what the ark was. If you read your Bible, it was a giant box covered in pitch. It was black. You know what it was? You know what it represented? A coffin. That's what it was. And Noah and his family went into that thing and spent about a year in that thing. And you know what? Then they came out of the coffin. You know what baptism pictures? It pictures a death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism... why do you think we take and we say, buried, risen to walk, in newness of life? Why are they then baptized for the dead, Paul says. See? So that Noah and the flood back then is a picture of that one baptism that takes place in the Bible. Now here's the curious thing about that. I mean, I want you to just think about this for a second. Who got wet in Noah's flood? Was it Noah and his family? They were saved. But who got wet? Who was baptized in water? How'd that work out for them? You ever think about that? You know, the problem with some people is whenever they see the word baptism, you know what word comes in their mind? Water. They put the two together. You can't do that because there's more than one baptism in the Bible. The baptism with Noah and his family, it's going into a coffin. It's going into a boat for a year and coming back out. The next time you read about it, and you can look at it if you want, and over there in 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And in that case, it's Israel going through the Red Sea. And the Bible says that they went through, there's a wall of water on this side, there's a wall of water on that side, and there's a cloud over the top of them, and they went through, and they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea, the Bible says. And they all went through, and they left Egypt, and they went through into the wilderness. Could I ask you a question? How many of the Israelites got wet? Isn't that weird? The first two baptisms that show up in the Bible, it's the people that don't get wet that are saved. And the people that do get wet, who got wet? Pharaoh and his army? How'd that baptism work out for them? You see? So you have to realize there's more than one baptism in the Bible, and Christians, when they don't do that, they get in a mess. They get in a mess. So I'm just trying to teach you a little bit about baptism this morning, so stay with me if you can. The next baptism is what we were just reading about. That's John's baptism, preparing Israel to receive their Messiah. The next baptism is the one we were talking about there with Jesus. Look again there in Luke chapter 12, and then we'll look at some scripture. Very important to understand this. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Y'all have it? If you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right, three of you have it. Praise the Lord. Look there again in Luke chapter 12, verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. What's he talking about? Look at verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? If what be already kindled? Fire. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? What is Jesus talking about there? He's talking about a baptism. I know that. That's his baptism. I have a baptism to be baptized with. What could that be? Look with me in Isaiah 53. Let's look at some scripture. Isaiah 53. It's important to understand this. It's good for you to understand why Jesus went through what he went through for you and I. Isaiah chapter 53, notice if you would please, beginning in verse 10. And this is, of course, reference to Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You know what God did with his son, Jesus Christ? He made his soul an offering for sin. Not his body. His soul an offering for sin. What kind of offering was his soul? Look in Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm chapter 22. You still with me this morning? All right, stay with me now. Psalm 22. How many of you like learning the Bible? Amen? All right, Psalm 22. And make sure you're paying attention, because most of what I'm going to show you is true. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who's that? Well, that's Jesus on the cross. Why did God forsake him? Because he had to make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. There's Jesus. He's thirsting on the cross. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's in your Bible 1,000 years before Jesus went to the cross. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. There's no doubt about it. That's Jesus on the cross. You know what God did with Jesus on the cross? He forsook him. Why? So his soul could be made an offering for sin. Look in Psalm 16 now, right before 22, just a few pages back. Psalm 16. And notice, if you would, here, verse 10. Verse 10. Psalm 16 and verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who's God's Holy One? Here's a clue. I'm going to give you a hint. It's not you. Amen? I just help you out. It's not you. Well, who is God's Holy One? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus go? According to that verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And in case you have any doubt about that, look in Acts chapter 2. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, Acts chapter 2. Look in verse 31, Acts 2, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He's quoting verse 27, which is, of course, quoting the theme we were just reading. And according to the Apostle Peter, what David is writing about in Psalm 16 is specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. You know where Jesus went? Not his body. His body went in a tomb. His spirit went back to the Father. Where'd his soul go? To hell. Say, what's that? Well, that was the requirement for anybody to get to God. There had to be a burnt offering. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Not just his blood an offering. His soul became a burnt offering for you and I. Jesus went to hell for you and I. That's the baptism he's talking about. Why? So you wouldn't have to go. So I wouldn't have to go. He went in my place. So I wouldn't have to go. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. But now we have some other baptisms. We have Noah's, we have Israel, we have John the Baptist with Israel. We have the baptism of Jesus that he's talking about when he goes to the cross and dies for us. We also have the baptism of the believer. Look back there in Luke chapter 3. We have right here a pool. And when we were doing baptisms, and we'll probably be doing one pretty soon here. And in this pool right here, we fill that thing up with water and we baptize. We baptize believers. Why do we do that? You say, so they can go to heaven. No, they're already going to heaven. We don't believe water baptism gets anybody into heaven. You say, well, why don't you believe that? Because the Bible doesn't teach that. That's why. See? That's not what the Bible teaches. Look in Luke chapter 3. I want you to consider something. Verse 16. John answered, saying unto them, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Why did Jesus get baptized in water? To get saved? No. Did you ever wonder about that? Why did Jesus get baptized in water? Wasn't he already a child of God? Wasn't he the Son of God? Wasn't he already going to go to heaven? Then why get baptized in water? Because it was the right thing to do. He said to fulfill all righteousness. Have you been baptized in water? If you've been saved, you ought to be baptized in water. Why? I'm not going to say you're not going to go to heaven if you don't get baptized, but it's the right thing to do. The Bible says it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. It's a picture of what's already happened to you spiritually if you've been saved. If you've been saved, you've been baptized in the Spirit of God. You now get baptized in water as a picture of that death, burial, and resurrection that you have now taken place in. That makes sense? You get that? That's the idea. And so, in this baptism, why did Jesus get baptized? Because it was the right thing to do. Because he was the Son of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know why I got saved? Because I was a child of God. I was a son of God. And that's what the sons of God should do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in case there's any doubt, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this ought to settle it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, I don't want to argue with it about it. I'm just trying to show you what the Bible teaches. You have to agree with me. You have a perfect right to be wrong. I believe that. Amen. Because I know I'm right. That's why I'm a Baptist. Amen. If I was supposed to be something else to be right, I'd be that. I wasn't born a Baptist. I didn't get saved until I was 25. I didn't know what a Baptist was. I'm a Baptist because the Baptist believes right. Simple. Nothing hard to understand there. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. I thank God, Apostle Paul, I thank God that I baptized none of you. What? But Crispus and Gaius. You mean you need to be baptized in water to go to heaven, and yet Paul is thanking God that he hadn't baptized them? Don't you find that odd? Don't you find that strange? Look there, verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Why? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? Preach the gospel. Then, brethren, there's a difference between the gospel and water baptism. You have to understand that. That's where people get messed up. That's where they get confused. And they think that being baptized in water has something to do with you going to heaven or getting saved. It doesn't. Paul's thanking God he had hardly baptized any of them in water. You know what he was concentrating on? Preaching to them the gospel. Why? That's what would get them saved. And that's what he says right there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's where the salvation is, brethren. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. He is our atonement. He paid the price for you and I so that we could go free. Amen. He was our offering so that we could be saved. He paid our sins so we would not have to pay for them. Thank God. We're out there, man. We had a good time yesterday in our street ministry out there. I mean, just a lot of people we got a chance to talk to and talk to about the Lord. Just real good receptive spirit down there. It sure was a blessing. Now, we did not, when we go down there, we don't bring a baptismal tank with us. See, I've known religions that'll go to the fairs and things like that and try to teach you that you have to be baptized in water to be saved. And I ask them, then where's your baptism tank? Well, we've got one at our church. I said, what if I die on the way over there? How do you do hospital visits? I mean, you ever wonder about those things? That thief on the cross, did he get baptized? Where'd he go? Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Without water baptism? You see, some people haven't been in their Bible long enough. They read a few verses and then they run off before, well, slow down, stay in your Bible. Don't get messed up. This is an important doctrine. It's so important that a lot of people, because they got messed up in this doctrine, are chancing sending a lot of people to hell. Because they think they're okay because they got baptized and joined the church. Well, if you think you're okay because you got baptized and joined the church, then who's saving you? You are. And if you can save yourself, then it's not Jesus that's saving you. You know who's saving me? Jesus. He has saved me. He's keeping me saved. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. I have eternal security. Say, why? Because I'm not trusting in my righteousness, but in His. And that's the only Christians that can have eternal security. As long as you're trusting in your righteousness, you can never have eternal security. You can never know for sure where you're going to go, because you never know what you're going to do from day to day. But we know the Lord is faithful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He won't change. Amen? Thank God. And so look with me in John chapter 4. The idea, brethren, is it's the gospel that saves, not baptism. It's the preaching of the cross that saves. Look here in John chapter 4. And so we're seeing this is the fifth already, the fifth baptism that we see through the Word of God. And it's good to understand the differences between these. You have the baptism of Noah and his family. You have the baptism of Israel going through the wilderness. You have the baptism of John the Baptist, repentance for Israel. You have the baptism of Jesus Christ when he went to become our burnt offering in hellfire. And you have the baptism of the believer. Notice in John chapter 4, look there in verse 1, John chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. He's got a greater ministry already than John. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. You got to get that. That's an important parenthesis. We're looking at an important parenthesis this morning. We're going to look at an important parenthesis this evening in the Bible. That's a very important parenthesis. But Jesus himself baptized not. Why? Who did Jesus ever baptize in water? Nobody. Why? He never wanted the Christian to get confused. He never wanted the Christian to get to the point where they think that Jesus came so you could get baptized in water. No. No. No, sir. That's not what Jesus came for. Now, look with me back in Luke chapter 3. And the message is on the baptisms of Jesus. Specifically, we see two baptisms that Jesus is baptized with. But we also see two baptisms. We've got two to go. And these are the two baptisms that Jesus Christ does himself. These are the baptisms that he baptizes with. Look there with me in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You, that's individual. But there's plenty of individuals there. So some of those yous are going to get baptized. And some of those yous are going to get baptized. Amen. There's two baptisms there. He explains it in the next verse. Look at verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor. You know what he's talking about there? When they would bring in the harvest and they would bring the seed in, they would winnow it with a big fan. And the idea was, is you take that fan, and you as you're taking up that seed, and you throw it in the air, and then you fan it. And as you throw that seed up and you fan it, all the chaff, all the light stuff gets off to the sides. And that's how he separates the chaff from the seed of the wheat. When you're eating bread, you don't want to be eating a bunch of straw and stuff. You want to be eating the seed of the wheat. You don't want all the other trash in there, all the other junk. And so they would winnow it. The idea is you separate the chaff from the wheat. You know what you do with the wheat? The wheat is for breaking bread. That's for fellowship. You know what you do with the chaff? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor, will gather the wheat into his garner. That's his. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Two baptisms. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you ever been baptized by Jesus Christ? Because everybody gets baptized by Jesus Christ. Have you ever been baptized by him? Say, Brother Ray, I'm a Christian. Good. Does Jesus know about it? Has he ever baptized you? Now, let's just look at a couple of verses real quick before we get upset or anything. See, who is the you there? He shall baptize you. Who is that? Well, look back up there in verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. What a way to talk to people. I mean, talk about, you know, influencing people and winning friends. John just didn't have a lot of tact, I guess. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What was their excuse for not getting baptized? Oh, we have Abraham as our father. We're already God's chosen people. We don't have to get baptized. We don't have to repent. We already have God on our side. And John's telling him, no, you need to repent. You need to prepare for what's coming. The Messiah is coming, but you need to be ready for him when he comes. Look now in Matthew chapter 3. Hold your place here in Luke. We'll go back to it. But look with me in Matthew chapter 3. Told you you were going to need your Bibles this morning. Now, Matthew chapter 3. Look with me in verse 7. Matthew 3 and verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So when he's saying that, who's he actually talking to? Who's he calling a generation of vipers? He just told you who it was. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Hey, did they subject themselves to John the Baptist's baptism? No. And that's why they end up rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. You understand that? The purpose of John's baptism was to prepare the people. When they rejected John's baptism, they rejected the opportunity to be prepared to receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came. That was the point. See? Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Now look with me in John, after Luke, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. Don't worry, we're heading towards the home stretch already. We'll be done shortly. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 37. Verse 37. You all have it? John chapter 8, look at verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. See, they're Abraham's seed, but they're murderers. You can be Abraham's seed all you want. That's not going to help you out if you're a murderer. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to them Pharisees. What were they saying? Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. There it is. Think not to say, Abraham's your father. So when John is preaching in Luke 3, who is it that he's preaching to? Well, he's preaching to those that came to his baptism to be baptized, but also who's there? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, you have saved people and lost people. You have people that are going to believe Jesus and know he's the Son of God and trust him, and you're going to have others that are going to reject him. So when John says that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, looking maybe over here, and with fire, looking over here, he's talking to a bunch of people, individuals at a time, you. Some will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Some will be baptized with fire. So if you're in, are you still in John or not? Try John 14 real quick with me. John 14. John chapter 14. Have you ever been baptized by Jesus Christ? That's the most important baptism of all. Has Jesus ever baptized you? How many of you know you're saved and going to heaven? Raise your hand if that's you. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, then you know what you're saying? Jesus Christ has baptized me. That's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you're going to heaven, is because Jesus baptized you. And that was what the message was. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Have you been baptized by Jesus? I hope so. Look in John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who's going to come to you? Jesus. How does he do it? In the person of the Holy Ghost. When you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you realize what happened to you? You were placed into Christ. You were baptized into Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. You became one with Jesus Christ. Our Sunday school lessons talking about that universal church, the body of Christ. When you get saved, you are baptized through the Spirit of God into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are safe and secure forever in Jesus, because he's baptized you. Has he baptized you? Say, how does that happen? Well, he says in Acts chapter 16, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Have you ever done that? Oh, yeah, I've heard of Jesus. I believe that. That's not what I meant. See, I'm not saying that you believe about something. Have you ever practically applied that thing that you say you believe? If you believe that Jesus came to the earth and was a good man, okay, wonderful. That isn't going to save you. You have to understand that he died on that cross in your place. That he became your offering for sin. So that you, listen, so that you wouldn't have to be that offering. You see, in that Old Testament tabernacle and in the temple, they would offer those burnt sacrifices. Just take them cows and take those goats and put them up on that big old altar, just a giant grill. I mean, they were grilling back then, buddy. They were grilling. And they would take those things and put them up on that grill and just smoke everywhere, fire and the smell. Why did God have them doing that? Every time they'd put one of those things up there, the priest would be thinking, that ought to be me. That ought to be me burning that fire. You know why Jesus went to hell? He took that baptism so you wouldn't have to. But if you reject Jesus Christ and you die without being baptized in the Spirit of God, then you'll have to be baptized. Not with the Spirit of God. Not with water, although you'll be begging for it. You'll be baptized in fire. You sure you're saved? Have you been baptized by Jesus Christ? He shall baptize you. That's Jesus. In the Holy Ghost. And with fire. Everybody gets baptized by Jesus Christ. Everybody eventually becomes a Bible believer. The question is, are you going to accept the baptism that he offers now? Or wait and be baptized by Christ later? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. By who? Bind him hand and foot and cast him. Who's saying that? That's Jesus saying that. What's he doing? He's having a baptismal service. His last one. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'll tell you what, next time you make it over there to McDonald's or Burger King or the country store or whatever, and they're making them French fries, I want you to watch it real close. As they take those frozen fries and they throw them in that vat of grease, and you watch that thing go. Because if you're not saved, that's a picture of your baptism. You will be baptized. Listen, I'm asking you, I'm begging you. Come to Christ. Be baptized in His Spirit. Because if not, there's only one baptism left for Jesus to give. That's the baptism you don't want to partake of. Because of that, we understand we need to be telling this world about Jesus Christ. We need to be warning. We need to have visitation. We need to have our ministries. We need to be supporting our missionaries. We need to be doing everything we can in our power to warn people and prepare as many as we can, because this thing on hell and the lake of fire ain't something that somebody made up to scare people. It's real. And many times as Christians, we say we believe in it, but we don't act like it. It's real. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's your future. The one time you'll see Jesus Christ is when He talks to those angels as He looks at you after opening that book of life and not finding your name, and telling those angels, bind them hand and foot and cast them in a lake of fire. There shall be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Don't let that be your baptism. Come to Christ and be saved. Let's stand for prayer. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You understand that what Jesus did becoming that offering, He did that for you. He went and took that fire so you wouldn't have to take it, Christian. You know what? That ought to be something to thank God for. That ought to be something to repent for. It's a warning for those that aren't saved. It's a dire warning, a dire prediction. I'm begging you. Don't get baptized by Jesus in the last day. Get baptized now, not in water, but simply come to Christ. Come on down the old-fashioned altar, get on your knees, and cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I receive You as my Savior. I'll tell you what, if you do that right now, you'll be baptized right where you're at. Right there, He'll baptize you into Himself. You'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you'll be safe. You'll be safe forever. You'll never have to worry about that baptism of fire. How about it? If God's spoken to your heart as the piano player comes, why don't you just step out? Just say, excuse me, if someone's in the aisle on your way. Just say, excuse me, and come on down. You don't have to. We've got Christians down at the altar praying. You can just come down and pray. Maybe just ask the Lord to burden your heart about the lost. Maybe take it a little more serious. Realize what's going to happen here in the near future, brethren. That day when we actually see people getting cast in that lake of fire, what a thing. I hope we don't see some family members or some neighbors or some co-workers that we knew and realized we never warned them. We never told them. We never tried to help them get prepared. The baptisms of Jesus. Father, pray You bless the message. Lord, instill in our hearts the urgency of the hour, the need, Lord, for a message like this to be preached. We don't know how much longer we have. None of us do. Lord, any of us may step out into eternity today. God, if anyone here is not saved, Lord, I pray they'd understand how easy it would be to be saved today. They'd quit fighting You and they'd quit putting it off. And they'd say yes to the Holy Ghost of God today. They'd come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, that's been kind of on the edge about it, I pray that this message, Lord, would bring him in. We'd see them in heaven one day because they came to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for baptizing us in your Spirit, for making us one in you. Lord, we do pray for the lost that are about us. God, help us to reach them. Lord, any way that we can reach them, help us to wake them up, Lord, and see them get saved. All over Seminole here, all over Baldwin County, Lord, there's many who've never been saved, don't know about Jesus. Lord, help us to do what we can as a church and as individuals to tell them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, that they be saved before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for a Bible, Lord, that we can look in, know the truth of these things. Understand, Lord, you didn't make it complicated. It's simple. It's simple to be saved. And it's simple, really, to understand baptism, what it's about. Now, Lord, be with your people today. Bless them. God, I pray that you'd minister now to hearts. And, Lord, I just love you. If you're here and you're not saved, with every head bowed and every eye closed,